Well, David, I see you're back in your shop, and I half expected to see you podcasting from a kayak this week.
Oh, that would actually be amazing. Yeah.
But you're back.
But I am back. Yeah. We stayed up at the lake for a week. It was Kelly's birthday, so I didn't totally disconnect from work. I was still editing and doing stuff and podcasting, but got some good time outside, some quality time with the wife, and it was fun. Over at that other house, there's a garage that's not available to guests, and I started setting up a shop there when we first got the place, and since then it's just been a place to put stuff, and it's been a disaster. And I got it organized pretty darn good, and it's not completely ready. It's not perfect. You know how things always have to be perfect before you can actually use it. You can walk around in there now, and there's a laser cutter over there, and I needed to make some boxes. So I just used Maker Case, yeah. And made some boxes and cut some out of some thin plywood. And so I actually used the shop for its intended purpose, to make stuff.
That's cool. It's a good idea for a shop.
Yeah. It's not just for looking at.
That's right. Well, that's cool. It was good to have a break. Good to have some time off not time off, but you know, different time.
Yeah. It feels like it set me back a little bit. It always does, but I think everything feels like it sets me back. I just got to get out of the hurry, the mental hurry that I'm always dealing with.
Do you feel like you're like since the show, and I know you were kind of like in a little slump after that. Or do you feel like that's starting to, I don't know, change, get different, better, back?
Back. Mostly because there was a little time off where I didn't get stuff. I wasn't like focused on work. And so that helped. And then plus I got really lucky and I got a bunch of sponsorship opportunities for August and September, which more than what I would normally do, but I need the money. So, they were decent sponsorships, and I'm like, and I'm going to take them. I'm just saying yes to everything right now. And there's no time to worry about inspiration or
the time to wallow.
There's no time to wallow. We got to get work done. So that helped me get my out of my slump. Emergencies make everything better.
Yeah. that's a strange thing to say, but I guess you're kind of right.
Yeah.
So, cool. Is that kind of like what we're going to talk about a little bit later? Similar.
Yeah. How about I save what I'm working on for the topic?
Okay. All right. Well, Jamie, what about you? What have you been up to?
I'm working on a few things. We have a bowling event coming up with Carolina.
Did you buy a bowling alley?
It's at a bowling alley in Maine. Well, I don't know exactly where it is, but I'm going to publicize it a little bit closer to the event. It's in about 2 weeks. So it's the whatever the Saturday of the 20 something is, August 22nd maybe. It's in Maine, Carolina Shoes, and a bowling. Carolina Shoes at Dexter is a bowling company. They're doing an event, and me and a bunch of guys are going to be up there. So I'm working on the trophies. There's this trophy plaque, so I've been working on those. My video for the week is probably going to be me getting my Cadillac back, because I don't know if you saw my social media. I got my Cadillac back yesterday from the guy that polished it. We tried to figure out if we could save the paint. So the quick story is I bought a Cadillac when I turned 30. And I owned it for about 5 years. And then when I needed money to buy this house, my only asset in the whole world, besides a bunch of credit debt, was this 1976 Cadillac. So I sold it to my friend Peter so I could have some money in the bank, because I was having a really bad summer in the summer of 2024. And the opportunity to buy this house came up, and I got laid off from my steady job that I had. It was, even though it was technically a freelance, but it was my only client that was paying me the most money. And he went out of business, and I had no money in the bank, and so I had to sell my Cadillac. And I sold it to my friend Peter, and one day I knew I'd get it back, maybe. I hadn't looked back at all, so the day he drove away, I hadn't seen it till the day I decided to go look at it to buy it, which was this April, so it was 23 years later. And anyway, I got the car. I talked about it quite a bit. And I fixed a lot of little doodads on it, and I just got it back from the paint restorer, and it looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's not 100% perfect, but I didn't have to strip the car and repaint it, which would have been, it's still the original paint. To repaint it would have been blasphemy because it's all original. The car is obviously super low miles and it's original car. It's mostly been garage its whole life. Anyway, so I was going to put that video together, that whole, it's more of a vlog about that car. I think I'm going to post that this week. I'm still waiting on the graveyard house. I'm waiting on the architect. I want to put that episode out with a couple of elements that include the new house plan. So I'm waiting till Mike gets me the house plans before I put that video together. And, yeah, just doing a lot of loose ends. I'm doing that trophy, cleaning up, doing some call work, been playing around a lot with pottery, making leather bags. That's how I fill my time, is if I realize I have a couple of hours of nothingness. Rachel's away for the week, so I have a lot of free time. So I'm like, you know what? Let me throw about 6-7 lumps of clay just to get more practice in. Let me move those leather bags along. So about every 2 weeks, I'll make about 5 or 6 leather bags. And then every little window of opportunity, I'll go and spend an hour and move those projects along. That's my whole, my day-to-day is literally just jumping from project to project for a couple hours at a time. And then when I feel I'm in a good spot or have to wait for glue to dry, I move to another project. It's been fun. Things are fun.
Cool.
It's nice having the complete aloneness. I just go from project to project, play with the cats for a little bit, go play with the birds, wrench on a car, make sure this car starts. I haven't used it in a while. Like the ADD is like off the charts.
Huh.
Literally jumping from thing to project to clean the shop up in this area. Oh, let me plasma cut some knives for the event coming up. We have the thing called the Field of Tools coming this weekend at the Blackthorn. So if it's Friday today, it's today and tomorrow and Sunday at the Blackthorn. A bunch of guys get together and we just trade each other our tools. It's like, you give me that and I'll give you this. And then we all leave with all everybody else's stuff. And
have you been like doing Field of Tools long enough?
Stuff.
Have you been doing that long enough that you're starting to get your own stuff traded back to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. My lights just died. No. It's funny. We all get together and we just trade each other our stuff. Occasionally, yeah. There's some really cool things. And like you take the whole weekend, you're like, should I buy this for $200 or $300? And you're like, yeah, I'll just buy it. Yeah. So it's really fun. It's a good, also more than anything, it's a good gathering. It's a good community event because it's a different group of people. It's all the tool collectors and the antique nerds. It's a lot of fun.
That's cool.
So yeah, that's what I've been up to. Just, I'm like a bee going from project to project, from like flower to flower, just project to project to project to project.
Now, do you feel like you get more done that way, or do you, how do I ask that? Does anything move as far along, or are you just moving more things forward a little bit?
No, everything. Things definitely move forward. There's no doubt about it. This one thing I did was a V-carve. So it took all day, it took almost like 4 hours to cut this one V-carve, this poster plaque, this trophy plaque. And I made some adjustments. I cut it again. So I was just monitoring that, walking by, looking at it, making sure it wasn't ruining it. And in between, pouring a little resin, I'm putting a mummified cat and a big chunk of resin. So I'm doing that. I'm checking that every once in a while. Mike, the fireman, we're also prepping the 400 boxes for the product we sold last month. So we're prepping the boxes and I have to sign 400 boxes and the product isn't in yet. It's going to be in any minute. And we're going to package and ship all that stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of little moving parts. Rob's working on the 59 Cadillac, which is going to be a video. Going back and forth, helping Rob with that. Yeah, so many little loose ends. It's crazy. I have to like stop and ask myself, like, okay, what did I plan on doing for the next hour? And then it's been nuts.
Stuff down. Write what you want to do down for the day. That helps me so much mentally.
I try to do that. I do that a lot. Like at night when I, and then I started lifting weights. So I lifted weights last night for a little while, every night. For the last couple of nights. And then I also still do my 2 mile walk every night at about 1 a.m. So I go for a 2 mile walk every night at about 1 a.m.
Nice.
And people always say, why do you go later, later? Why is it later? Isn't it so dangerous to walk at night? No, it's actually not dangerous because I'll walk for 45 minutes and not see one car. If I walk at 9 o'clock, 1,000 cars will pass me. It's just up here. It's so rural. People are always in transit in between and they pass by my neighborhood. But in the middle of the night, no one's out except 18 wheelers. You'll see one 18 wheeler drive through in 40 minutes.
I do a 30-minute walk every morning, and every single time I have had to, there's no sidewalks for mostly where I'm walking it. And so every single time I have to like move on the side of the road so the car can get through. And I'm it's going to feel like winning the lottery. I've been waiting for the day where I don't see one single car. There's been many days where I've only had to move for one car, but I've never had a day where there's no cars.
Yeah. That's why I walk late at night. The later, the better.
This is at 7 a.m. So I'm waiting for that, my no car walk.
And you just got to push
walk
it
right down the middle
earlier.
Of the road.
Yeah.
And then you
yeah.
see headlights for several minutes before they even come near you. So you know which way to go.
Makes sense.
There's a big bear that's been walking around for years. I saw him directly one day in the backyard about 4 years ago. And he keeps showing up on the Ring camera app. The neighbors share the Ring camera. And he's big. He's probably about 400 pounds. And he keeps popping up. He was most recently seen at my neighbor's house, but my neighbor is like a quarter of a mile down the road because it's very rural here. And that was just the other day. So now every night I'm walking around with bear spray. I don't think I'd be attacked. I'm sure he would just run away. But in the rare event that the bear feels like saying hi to me up close, I carry a can of bear spray with me. I told you the time when I was walking, and it must have been the same bear because it was within a mile. And I heard a boom. I had my like one earbud in and I heard a boom and I looked around. I shouldn't have heard anything because it was like 1:30 a.m. And I see a garbage can tipped over and then a pair of eyeballs right at the ground level. And I'm like, oh, the raccoon must have pulled the garbage can over. And then the eyeballs, because my headlamp is on, but it's like really, it's like 100 yards away. And then the eyeballs go from about 5 inches off the ground and they just keep going up in the air.
Going up in the air. Floating like, raccoon?
What? Yeah, I was like, and then the eyeballs are like 6 feet in the air. And like the eyeballs are kind of moving around and I'm like, holy S, that is a bear that is as tall as me. And I hit the high beam and I see the silhouette of the bear and I just immediately made an about face and started walking the other way. That might have been the same guy because he was fairly close.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm waiting to bump into him one night.
Yeah. Maybe don't wait for that.
Yeah.
Do you listen to anything on your walks?
Sometimes I scroll. I listen to a lot of news. I listen to my legalese stuff. Occasionally a podcast. There's a couple of comedy podcasts I listen to, but most often I put on a podcast because I have to walk past this one dead zone that anything I'm listening to as far as YouTube, it shuts off. So I'll put on a podcast. I listen to Mark and Sam.
Give it one shot, but for the 2 mile walk, don't listen to anything.
I've done that. I've done that quite a bit. Yeah, I do that. I do that often. I just walk and just take the earbuds out and just wait to be attacked from behind.
A lot of times you get attacked with ideas, which is amazing.
100%. I'm a little addicted to it now where it's like, oh, it's 2 o'clock. Should I still go for a walk? I'm like, yeah, let me go. So I'll still go out for like an hour, 45 minutes and go to sleep at 3. Yeah, I really do. It's really part of my routine right now. And like every night, Rachel's like, are you going for a walk? Because you should go now so you can get to bed soon.
Good for Rachel.
Yeah, she shoves me out the door. She can talk to her boyfriend. She's like, I'm going for a walk. I'm like, yeah. No, cool. It is part of the routine. And it's definitely, my mother's 86. And I don't know if I'm inspired by my mother. I just decided it's the low impact exercise but my mother walks like 3 or 4 miles almost every day. And she drives to the boardwalk. She's retired, of course. She drives to the boardwalk and walks on the boardwalk near her house. And she's been doing that for like 25 years. And my mother's like so sharp. It's unbelievable. People are like blown away. They think my mother's like in her late 70s. They don't realize she's 10 years older than that. And it's, I think walking really, really keeps your blood moving. It keeps your circulation going. Even though it's not a high impact exercise, in my area, it's very hilly. I'll come home feeling like I worked out because I walk up and down these big hills. You don't realize it. You know, sometimes you're in a half a mile grade going uphill and that works on you.
Oh yeah, for sure. And so you said you've been lifting lately too.
Oh yeah. I just started lifting weights. Really lightweight. Just it's sitting there. We have a whole gym set up. My brother set up his whole gym here and then lived with me for about a month and then left his entire gym here. We call it it looks like a jailhouse gym. It looks like something you'd see in a jail. It's just all big plates. So I believe it or not, I'm mostly lifting weights with just the naked bar with no weights on it.
Yeah. I mean, bars are not light.
No. So eventually my brother's all about seeing if he could put up 320, you know, it's like that kind of stuff. And, so there is a squat rack and a series of plates all the way down to little tiny plates. So I'll eventually add some weights, but I'm doing dumbbells and the bar and working out my shoulders. Like I feel like this shoulder has been getting really weak and in pain. And since I've been exercising, it really helps. Yeah, you know, it's counterintuitive. You think because your joints hurt, don't exercise. But I exercise and my joints, the pain goes away.
Yeah. There's all sorts of chemical stuff that I don't understand, to be clear. But there's all sorts of chemical stuff that happens on the inside of your muscles when you use them, which makes them easier to use. you know, which is really interesting. And all your joints, I mean, there's all sorts of things that react well to being used. Like my boys are doing soccer right now. They're like in preseason. And they're in middle and high school, and they're both active kids anyway, and they're both, you know, they are into all sorts of things. They're very healthy and very, like, lean and stuff. But these coaches they've been doing, like, training in the morning, like, either running or lifting or anaerobics, just all the, you know, training stuff. And then they do soccer training at the night, so they have 2-a-days. And the difference in the way that they play soccer because of the work that they do off the field is pretty amazing, because they're being pushed, especially the anaerobic stuff. They're being pushed in all sorts of ways, and it's causing all sorts of flexibility and core strength and stuff. And then that just carries over into everything else that you do. I mean, no matter if it's soccer or work or whatever, you know, having improved core strength and just better stuff running through your body. I mean, it affects a lot. So I'm glad you're doing those things. That's good.
Yeah, it definitely helps. I mean, so if you're feeling, you're out there and you're feeling lazy.
Yeah.
Just move around.
Yeah. I've been climbing a little bit in the last week or so, now that the gym is up. And it's been really cool to do that again on a semi-consistent basis. But the thing I forgot about was how your fingers, I mean, I know, like, with climbing or guitar or whatever, anytime you use your fingers really, you know, a lot, the pads on your fingers get really sensitive. And the thing I forgot about was that you also have to use chalk when you're climbing, because it absorbs the sweat on your hands, makes it easier to hold on to thing. But when it absorbs the moisture, it also absorbs your moisture out of your hands. So by the time you get done climbing, they're both raw and like,
ooh,
like sensitive and dry and like puckery. And it's just funny, because I was like, oh, this is so much fun. Oh, I'm so glad I'm doing this again. And then after like an hour, I'm like, oh, my fingies. fingertips are so bad.
Fingies.
Like such a baby, you know. But anyway, it's like another thing I got to get used to. Like when you stop playing guitar for a long time and then you get back to it and you're like, oh, got to build up those calluses again. Got to, you know, ruin my fingertips again. But that's cool. Well, I've been doing all sorts of stuff that's not normal for me. Jenny is still out of town. She's been, I think I said last week, she was traveling to see family, and she's still out of town and still going to be gone for a few days. And so I'm, you know, taking kids to practices and just doing all the stuff, which is actually a lot of fun, and I'm really enjoying like the time. But because my days are so broken up, where they're usually, I try to keep like, these are work hours, you know, and I'm flexible, but I try to say like, these are the hours that I work and then everything else. These days are so broken up that I, last week was like, well, I'm just not going to try to be productive this week. You know, I don't need to make a video. I'm good. I should just take the week and enjoy not be in a hurry and be available. And so I did that. And now we're in the second week of it. And so I'm like, well, I should probably start doing some work. But at the same time, because I haven't been trying to focus, you know, a work day, I've just had a couple hours here and a couple hours there. It's been weird that it gave me time to say, well, I have 2 hours. What could I throw 2 hours at? And it's been stuff like I was showing David before we started recording, like my office, I've completely changed the wall that's behind my desk, and the whole office is changing. It's like the ripple effect of like, if I'm going to change that, then I have to change that. And then that's going to need this. And oh, I should get different lighting because that'll make that look better. And so it's been 2 hours here, 2 hours there. And this is all changing, which I like. But then I'm also putting time at replacing pieces of wood around the outside of the garage that have been rotten for a long time and not really a priority, but you know, there's like a mouse that probably gets in that hole, so I'm just gonna take an afternoon and rip it out and replace it with new stuff like that, which is really good and productive for the long term, but it's not work stuff. And it's been good. Like, I've actually enjoyed doing things that don't have consequence. They don't have to be anything. They don't have to get anybody's attention. They don't have to become like a production. It's just stuff. It's just got to do the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been pretty cool. I think I could get used to it if I somehow was independently wealthy, but I'm not. So I'm still going to have to work. Yeah.
We're working on it.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah.
But so that's been a little weird, you know, last couple of weeks of just having a different, this whole summer has been, I think, a really interesting stretch for me in good ways of showing me that, you know, if I, like, it sounds so obvious, but it's shown me that I really am in control of how my time is used. Because I think it's really easy, at least for me, to get in a pattern of, I put out 2 videos a month, so I have to work this much to get this thing to put out. Right. And so it's just like, you do this, you put it out, you do this, you put it out. And that's kind of tiring, even though the pace is manageable. But I worked really hard in April and May to get ahead so that the summer, so I could take the trips that I was taking and everything. And not working through those times and doing other things that were meaningful and interesting was really, really good. And then it just happened that Jenny was going to go out of town, and I was going to have to take off a little bit more time, but it's pushing me to also prioritize like this stuff around the house and prioritize not being productive again. And then like next week, I'm taking one of my kids to college and I'm taking another one to visit colleges. And those are priority. So I'm not going to be as productive. You know, it's just kind of weird. I don't know. It's a strange set of things that has pushed me away from this drive to just do and just get stuff done, you know. And
I've talked about this in the past, but so, do you guys ever get to the point, this is more of a bigger conversation, where we go, we've stepped away so much from something or so often so long from one thing, and then you go to yourself, you have this like actualization, you go, is that the last time I'm ever going to do that?
I have thought about that before. Yeah.
When you step away from whatever it is, even if it's a task or something, you just go, haven't done that in a month. Yeah. Maybe I'll never do it again.
Yeah.
Haven't made a video in 3 weeks. Is that last video, the last video I'll ever make?
Yeah.
But I think, I call them pattern interruptions. We get used to our routines every single day. And these things happen where it takes you out of your routine, whether you choose to or not choose to. And it's always a good thing because you have a different perspective when you get back to it. You've had time to process what you've been doing every day. And the autopilot is shut off for a little bit. And I remember like after the art show, I didn't film anything for 2 weeks. And that was on purpose. And the night before we had to film, I'm like, worried that I'm gonna like not know how to talk to the camera, which is really weird. You know, I haven't done that in weeks. Yeah. But you need a reset button. Like every once in a while, you're driving in your car and you have that traffic scare and you're like, whoa, okay, I'm gonna be a good driver. And you need those little interruptions every once in a while to put you back in your place.
Yeah, the autopilot, that's a really good way to say that, because that's not how I thought of it. But yeah, for sure. You get in those patterns, you do the same thing, or you only have to put in a certain amount of thought effort into repetitive action. And that's a good way to think about it. I think when you come back to something from that and where I'm at now, you get to decide, what am I coming back to? How much of this do I want to come back to? What do I want to continue to pick back up? And what do I want to leave behind? You know, can my schedule change, or can my output change? Or so, yeah, I mean, I don't think that I have any motive to change anything at this point, but it's just been really nice to take a break and nice to have like some other stuff to do. And I am kind of anxious to be productive. I mean, people enjoy being productive. I do. But at the same time, I heard somebody talking a couple weeks ago about, and I think they were talking about like a family dynamic more than a single person, like a person's job or like their effort towards something. But they were talking about, make sure that summer break is part of your rhythm. And they were talking about, make sure that your family, you know, does different things in the summer than you do in the winter, just so that you have a different rhythm. You get to spend more time together. You get to go different places. You get to like eat differently, whatever it is, have a summer. And that's, you know, as a person who, as a full-time worker, as an adult, it's super easy to just, you don't get summer because summer is for kids not going to school. And then when you get out of that part of your life, then it's like, well, you work 100% of the time because that's what you do. We are in the position where I think I accidentally did it this year, but we're in the position where we can prepare to have a summer break. And that doesn't necessarily mean you don't do anything for the summer, but you can change your goals and your output and whatever for the summer. And so I kind of accidentally did that this year, but I'm pretty sure that from now on, I'm going to be doing this. Summer is going to be different than the rest of the year for me. Hmm. Not only because my kids are getting older and I want to like, I have a few summers with them at home and then they're gone. But also just, I was thinking, you know, forward a little bit when my kids are gone and it's just Jenny and I, if I continue to work at the same pace all year long, then that means we're missing out on an opportunity to like do other stuff. Like what if we took I'm just thinking out loud here, but if we decide that summer break is part of our rhythm, but it's just the two of us, then like, hey, yeah, summer, let's go travel somewhere for the summer, not for like a week in the summer, but like, let's go or let's stay and make a new something together. I don't know. You know, I don't have a plan for it, but I think having a summer break is probably going to be a part of my, you know, my time from now on, but because it's been really nice.
Nice.
Obviously, we're in a very fortunate position to be able to control that. And a lot of people who work for other people don't have that same control, but I guess you could find another way to do it. Anyway.
Rachel and I are thinking about going to Santa Fe. That's one of the places she loves the most. She has a lot of connections there. We went a couple of years ago. We had a nice time talking about going again in the early September if we could pinch it in. Hmm. We got a lot of traveling coming up, so we're going to try and do that just to get away.
I'm going to try in, I think, September, maybe early or mid-October, to go solo camping. I haven't done that in, I don't know. I've done it before, but not maybe since high school or... something. I don't know. But, and not long. I just want to go for like 2 nights. I just want to hike into somewhere backcountry by myself and set up a camp and sit there and read and sleep and then hike out. You know, like not a big thing, not like a survival situation right. or anything. I just want to go into the woods by myself for a day or two. So we're kind of trying to plan that. I think that'd be cool.
I got a local friend who has a YouTube channel. He's a full-time YouTuber, and it's all about camping. And he does the solo. All his camping videos are just him solo. Sometimes it's like, wow, what I think stealth camping. We're like, you know, camped out behind a Wendy's. But most of the time, it's like wilderness and extreme weather type things. And it's crazy. He'll put out these 45-minute videos. They're they're not like hyper paced. They're just a dude camping. There's a lot of quiet moments and they'll get like hundreds of thousands of views. People just find that content yeah. relaxing and enjoyable. I've never thought about doing a solo camping thing, and now you got me thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been on my list to do for a while, but it's one of those things. It's kind of hard to plan, you know, and justify. But I'm going to do it one of these days. Hopefully this year. My plan is like this fall sometime. But so you didn't tell us about what you've been working on earlier, David.
Yeah. So Jimmy brought up, like, as we were trying to figure out what to talk about, he brought up writer's block. And I don't know that I necessarily have like large chunks of writer's block, but I definitely have trouble designing things or coming up with ideas all the time. And I am, I'm working on, I'm doing one of the recasing custom mods things. So for the lake house, we have this little thermometer and it's, it has, I don't know what you would call them, but it's an indoor-outdoor thermometer and has three little satellite things. So you can put the satellite things in different parts of the yard or house or whatever, so you can always monitor the temperature of everything. And so one is upstairs because it gets hotter upstairs. One is on the outside patio and one is in the bar. Just so you can, from the living room, always see what the temperature is in these areas. But the thing, it doesn't have, it just says 1, 2, and 3. So there's no easy way for the guest to understand what 1, 2, and 3 means. And so I wanted to recase this and just use the electronic screen and do the pachuto thing that I always do. And we were started filming that this week. And I've had time to think about the design for a couple of weeks now, and I just haven't been able to figure it out. I've sat down, I've tried to sketch, I've looked online for inspiration, I've gone through books, and nothing hit me that excited me. And then the night before, I'm like, I gotta figure something out. I came up with a great design the night before, and it always happens when there's, the emergency that we were talking about, the fire, like this is, yep. This has to be done now. And something about my brain flips and I come up with the perfect design last second, hours before we start shooting. And I wish I could get over that. I wish I had more time to refine the design, to maybe set that aside, come up with another design and then pick between the two. That's never going to happen. But I don't think I get writer's block, but I have trouble coming up with ideas until I absolutely have to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was saying in the beginning, before we started recording, the idea of, you feel like the idea just came out of nowhere, but it really came out of, and I use the example of how a star is formed. All these particles come together. At least that's what I've been told. And then all of a sudden a star is formed. And if you can think of the metaphor of the star being the idea, all these particles are in your brain. All these little loose, untethered connections. All of a sudden, when you have a reason for bringing them all together, and then you get a spark of inspiration and you feel like, oh, I just thought of that idea. But it was kind of right there below the surface and you needed something to tack it to. And it's either the assignment or the advertisement or whatever it is you need to do for the client, whatever. And then it comes together. But a lot of times you can call that a breakthrough. Most ideas have one, at least one breakthrough where you think you have a good idea and you're like, I'm going to make a table. I'm just going to have a table with a drawer. Like, that's the breakthrough. You're like, and then you need another breakthrough. So if you give yourself enough time to think this through, this could all happen in an hour, or it could happen over the course of 10 years. But you got to prime yourself to be conscious of when you're needing, wanting, or looking for a breakthrough, and these particles in your brain will subconscious will start designing, developing, and all of a sudden, boom, you see like an object sitting next to another object. You're like, what if they were together? What if this one was on top of that one? Two unsimilar objects now all of a sudden make a new product. Those are the breakthroughs that happen. And you got to prime yourself. You got to be loose enough to let those happen. You got to exercise that muscle. And these having a deadline really enforces all those things to start to happen. And having without a deadline, your brain's just like loosey goosey, just doing nothing. I'm talking about my own experience. And then when you get a deadline, all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, I could, that thing I thought of the other day that had no purpose now has a purpose. And now I could combine it with that other thing that I saw on Instagram the other day. And then you start coming up with good ideas.
You know, there's a book, it's an older book. It's highly recommended, but it's called A Technique for Producing Ideas. And there's basically like four or five steps of how to come up with ideas. And I have done research on this in the past, and every scientific research paper basically has these same exact four steps for coming up with new ideas. But if you want the quick version, this book is great because the audio book is like 45 minutes long, but it goes, you gather the materials that you need. And those materials could be, the problem, the idea, it could be physical things. And then you need to work with those materials, understand the materials, which we've been doing all our lives. So that step is probably just built into our brains. And then there's the incubation time where, okay, now you have your problem, you have your materials, you need to forget about it and not think about it. Whether it's for a day or for a week, and something happens in your subconscious mind where, all of a sudden you're in the shower and you have that breakthrough, that aha moment. And, it's just your brain has had time to process stuff. It does things when you're sleeping. It does things when you're doing the routine stuff. And it's funny, like every research paper on this subject has, it's the same four or five step process. And I forgot where I was going with it, but and part of that is the remixing. It's like what you said, it was like seeing the two things that shouldn't go together are now going together. You're remixing ideas. New ideas are just remixes of old ideas. You're not coming up with anything new. You're just combining stuff to make something that appears new. And I don't know. Anyway, look for the book, A Technique for Producing Ideas by James Webb. I think it's pretty old, like decades old.
Yeah, that sounds cool though. I'm going to check that out. Yeah, I wonder, I know that there will be people shouting answers to this question as I ask it. I know exactly what those answers will be, but I wonder why our brains do sometimes work better under pressure. Because I don't think that's a universal case. It sounds like it is for both of you all. I think for me, the pressure ends up making me shortcut things instead of doing the best of the thing, which is why I enjoy working ahead more than I work in the last minute, because in the last minute, it's like, it feels like the bare minimum. I'm just trying to get it done enough to be done rather than being able to think more broadly about it. And like, so I really, like I was telling somebody the other day, I have my content schedule and through the end of the year is written out, and they're loose ideas. They're not, it's not like I know exactly what they're going to be. They're not designed. I don't mean that, but it's, I like to know what is coming down the line in December so that that thing that you're talking about, my brain can start working in the background and start thinking about and gathering pieces. And I can, if I have a moment, I can sit down and like, oh, I should think about this thing that's coming up and actually give it some attention, like directed attention rather than just getting to it and being like, well, I got 2 days. What am I going to do? And I have to do that sometimes for sure. We all have to do that. But I don't enjoy that. And I don't feel like that gets the best out of me personally. My question is, I wonder what it is about that last minute thing that actually makes you all, and most people probably,
really productive? Like, what is it that pushes? Is it an adrenaline spike that actually like clarifies, you know, what you're thinking? Is it prioritization of these things have to happen now, so all the other stuff that I'm thinking about gets sidelined? Maybe it's that. I know that everybody yelling is going, ADHD, that's what it is. And I know that's a thing. I get it. But it's also a blanket application that people put on every single behavior around everything now. Yeah. I put out a video about procrastination the other day because I was procrastinating about the GIA, right? And I said, does anybody else do this? And everybody's response was, yeah, it's called ADHD. I'm like, no, that's not what that is. That's maybe part of it, but procrastination is just procrastination, you know? Mm-hmm. They're just not swappable in every way. But I know that a lot of people's own experience is like, yes, I've been diagnosed. I can see this thing in myself and this symptom, meaning that they are the same thing. But somebody else can have diagnosis and different symptom, and they're seen as the same thing. My point is, it's not the answer for everything. It's not a blanket term for everything. So I wonder, with this like last minute boost of productivity or focus or something, I wonder what it is that actually makes that better. Do you know, David? I mean, for you?
For me, I think it is, I'm out of time, so it doesn't have to be perfect now. I just need to have a idea, and that removes a huge filter.
So the filter is the problem.
Yeah.
Self-editing. A lot of times I'll make a fake deadline for myself, and I'm completely 100% aware that it's fake, but I know that I have so many things in my to-do list that a good example is the go-kart. I had to do this cohort commercial, I had to do this other thing, and I had 2 weeks to finish the go-kart, and it was the critical part of the shell, the outer aluminum shell. I didn't really have a clear path on how I was going to do it. But I basically said to myself, if I don't have a good start by Tuesday, I'm going to fail in 14 more days. So I gave myself this Tuesday afternoon, I remember, when I got back from the cohort commercial. It's like, if I don't have something solid by Tuesday, I'm failing in the next 14 days. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, you got 14 days to figure this out. Don't be such a wuss. But by the end of that Tuesday, I had a really solid direction. But I gave myself that as if, like, if I don't do this, I'm going to fail. But I had a full 2 weeks to really figure it out after that. But occasionally I put that pressure on myself where if I don't have a solid idea by tomorrow night, I'm failing at this. But I still have 5 more days after that. I've been practicing that for years, even though it's really not something I've spoke about and it's not something I make a conscious decision to do. I just say those other 5 days are more importantly filled up with these other things. So even though this deadline is after those, I'm putting this here just so I can get it done. And the overarching concept is I always have buffer days. Even when I speak to certain clients, like when I speak to my liquor clients, I always tell my buddy Chuck, I was like, don't tell me the real due date. Just tell me a due date. give yourself a buffer. I said, can you do this in a rush? I'm like, yeah, but don't tell me the real due date. Just make up one. And he's like, okay, I need it by August 5th. I was like, okay, cool. It'll be done by August 5th. But he might have till August 10th to ship it to some other place. So I do that with myself, but I'm obviously completely aware that I'm doing it, but I really do adhere to it. It's a practice. It's a discipline. So you have those days to refine the idea. The reason I bring it up, Bob, is you said, you do something in a rush and you're like, it should have been this way. It should have been that way.
Yeah.
When you look at it and you still have 3 more days, you go, now I've actualized this. And now I know I could cut this, move that over there, do this. So the hard part is like getting the thing on the table. That's where you feel all the pressure. Now the thing is on the table. Now you can refine it. You have at least one full more day to tweak the paint, put fuzzies on the feet, whatever it is, and a leather accent. Oh, that would look cool. I wasn't even thinking about that. But now that I see it, all these other ideas come rushing in because now it's actually there.
I was watching, I think it was the newest Bobby Duke video the other day. He was making something with Jazza. And so they had a limited amount of time in Australia, I think is where they are, or where he is. And they were like the first day, they didn't really get anything done because they were goofing off and filming silly stuff and like you know. So the further they got along to the thing, it was like, we're kind of running out of time and we haven't really gotten enough done. So they're both crazy and had a lot of fun together on camera, but you could tell it like got a little bit more, okay, we have to actually focus now and actually have to get stuff done. And then they got to the end and then stuff went wrong. And then they had to like pivot and be creative with the mistake and with the problem and come up with it. And it was really, really cool. But it made me think of that because like, and that's a case where like they couldn't build in necessarily an extra buffer because he was traveling down there. They had literally these days to do the thing, you know, and it had, and both of them require a lot of work to do the creative work that they do. It's like insane, but it's kind of like that. I feel like building in a buffer is really smart because I never feel like I've got those. Well, I've got a couple extra days to like, you know, make up for mistakes or catch up when I didn't nail it or whatever. And they definitely didn't have it. They just had to do it. David, you mentioned a minute ago a filter. And so like when you get to the last minute, the filter comes off and maybe that's why you can be really like focused and stuff. What is the filter that you're putting on it up until that point? Is it just... go ahead.
It's my own expectations. Like every...
Oh, okay.
It's every project needs to be better than the last project. I should always be improving. I should... I need to make something that's going to impress other people. I need to make something that's going to impress me. And I just always want to make the coolest stuff. That is my... That's... I mean, I like making things. And I like to think that I'm a creative, unique idea person. And... But when we get down to last second, I'm like, you know what? It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be done. And then, all right, I'll just start sketching an idea. This is what we're going to do. And then there's something about, when you see, either a sketch or when you see the materials, something flips in my brain. Like I've started a lot of projects with like, well, I didn't have time to design anything. So I'm just going to start milling up some wood and we're going to just start cutting and we're going to figure it out on the fly. I'll just design it on the fly. But when you start seeing the pieces in front of you, those filters go away and all of a sudden this river of ideas are going through my brain at the time that we're actually making and filming. And it's kind of like a magical moment. And maybe that is also due to somebody else being in the room. Like if Jefferson is there and we're just kind of like, yeah, I got to do this thing. And you're bouncing ideas off each other. You're kind of brainstorming or you're just goofing off. And, you know, I don't know if you guys do this too, but when you're working with somebody else, you're like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we did this thing? But that joke turns into something like,
yeah,
but, and then that but is the cool breakthrough that you have.
Yeah, for sure. That's cool. That's cool to hear that. It's a different perspective than what when you've always talked about like being under pressure and doing things in the last minute that works better for you. That's a different way to look at it than I had looked at it. So that's really cool. And the writer's back to the writer's block thing, which I don't know is necessarily the same. Maybe it is the same thing. I think of writer's block as like a long-term being stuck and just like, you know, literally blocked. Like there's something stopping things from coming. And I don't know that I probably have had that, not necessarily in making stuff. I've had that musically for sure for like ever. And even with actual writing, like I've written a small book. I've tried to start another book. I have a couple of fiction ideas I would love to write. I have another book that I've got a whole bunch of outline stuff, but there's something in the way of me actually, you know, okay, today we're starting the book. Like there's something there that's in the way of that. And it's not that I'm blocked on the creative idea. I'm blocked about the execution. And so when I think of writer's block, just from my own personal thing, I think that's where it's not necessarily the idea, it's the execution is stuck And maybe that's a confidence thing. Maybe it's a focus and time thing. I don't really know. But that was just something I was thinking about from earlier, because that's the way it plays out for me. But
there's this quote, and I found it here. I mentioned it before we hit record, but somebody that I don't know, Somerset Maugham, he has this quote. It says, "I write only when inspiration strikes. Fortunately, it strikes every morning at 9 o'clock sharp." And like, I feel that 100%. Like, you don't just wait around for ideas or inspiration. You just do it and you figure it out.
Yeah, there's a similar one. I mean, I think it's the same idea about like luck and work. Something, you know, like I'm so lucky.
Luck is when hard work meets opportunity. That's luck.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, you know, basically just, you only get lucky if you work hard for it, which is, you know, cool. Any other thoughts on this stuff? You guys got anything else that has been going on?
Like going along the same lines, like Stephen King is known for writing like 2,000 words every day, no matter what. You just write 2,000 words. Maybe you throw it away the next day, but you did the work. You got up, you did your thing, you fulfilled your routine. And I think that's really important. And like, you know, when I get away from other creative things like making music, or I haven't done photography in a while. And I remember, like last year going out for a photo walk, and I was like, oh, I'm not good at this anymore. I mean, I understand composition. I understand composition better than I ever have in my entire life, but I can't take a good photograph anymore because I haven't done it in a long time.
Yeah. That's me with music. Like, I still know what moves me musically. I still know what I would love to be able to create, but you put a guitar in my hand and I'm a 5-year-old again. It's just, I just don't like, the dexterity is just not there because I haven't done it. I don't do it. And you have to do it to be able to do it. You know, I guess it's back to it's the same as the working out before. You have to work out a little bit to be able to work out, you know?
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. Cool. Jimmy, any other thoughts on this stuff?
No, I always say inventing is a practice, is a muscle you have to practice. Cool. I mean, if you look around, you invent things that are completely unnecessary. You know, that channel, I forget, Joe's Unnecessary Inventions. I forget his name. Maybe not Joe, but Unnecessary Inventions. The guy comes out with the best stuff. More than half the stuff that are unnecessary feel necessary because he's such a good designer. He 3D prints everything. Well, I forget his name.
I think unnecessary removes the filter. Right? It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to have a purpose, but it removes the filter, and then you come up with things that do have a purpose and are necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, useful and necessary are not the same thing. And so it can be one or the other or both or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters, who are awesome. Big thanks to everybody over there at patreon.com/makingit who supports the show. Everybody gets the after show. No matter what level or how long or any of that stuff you've been supporting. Huge thanks to our top supporters, though, because they do extra, and we're really grateful for them. And that is A Pretty Big Deal, Inc., Albers Woodworks, Brian's Heinous Exhaust Repair and Bagpipe Emporium. Yes.
Perfect.
I love it, Brian. I love it. That's fantastic. I had not read that until just now. Brian is a long-time Patreon. If I like to make Patreon member, I like to make stuff, and he's a big help over there in our community. He's awesome. That's a great name. Also Chad from Minecraft and Chris McCormick at HatchX, Daddy Yourself DIY, Jim at Wiser Bees, Master of None, Nick Ryan, Odin Leather Goods, Rich at Lowen Art. I did it, Rich. The New Janky Workshop, Tinia Space Industries, and Works by Solo. But also Bill Burkle. Bill Burkle's been around for a while, supporting. Really grateful for all of them and everybody else. It means a lot. And if you want to get the after show, you want to support our show that we've been doing for 300 years, you can go to patreon.com/makingit and sign up at any level. We'd be very grateful.
Thank you.
All right. You guys got anything to recommend this week?
I just sent you guys flying doodles. I don't know if I talked about Emma before. Emma works at the aerodrome. Well, she's temporarily stepped away to go back home for a minute, but she's from Texas. Emma Crawford is a young pilot. She's only 25 years old. She's an incredibly talented pilot. She flies all over the place. She flies at the aerodrome. And she has a channel called Flying Doodles, and she travels around. She ferries planes all over the place. And check her out. We've been making friends over the last few months, and trying to encourage her to do some more cool stuff on YouTube. And so check out Emma Flies Planes. And if you do go check it out, comment in the section that you heard it from me. She's trying to build her YouTube presence, and go check her out. She's very talented. She's good at interviewing people, and she edits and flies and does everything by herself. She's really a one-person operation. So check out Emma Flies also on Instagram.
Awesome. Cool. What you got, David?
So I got two of them. This one just randomly showed up. It is from a channel called Dovetail, which is, it's not a woodworking channel, but the video is called I 3D Printed a Working Piano. And it's a great little video, like an actual piano. I think if you've ever seen The Mechanics, Mark Rober has a crazy video on it from years ago. But there's like 100 pieces to one single key to do the hammerhead, and it's crazy. And he 3D printed one using a different design, and it was really cool. And so that is the first one. And then the other one is, I probably have recommended this channel before. It's called Driver 61. The video is called 0 to 345 miles per hour in 3.7 seconds. It's about top fuel dragsters, and you don't have to care about motorsports to enjoy the video, but it's like the science of how a top formula dragster gets up to 345 miles an hour. Like, parts of the engine destroy itself, and they have to tear down and rebuild the engine every single time. After a 4 second run, the waste and the cost for each run is just absolutely bonkers. But the science is crazy. I went to is it NHRA? Is that the thing? I went to a top
rod association.
I went to a drag race a few years ago, and there's no separation from the audience to the pits. So you're not just confined to the stands. So you can actually go. And I went and I watched one of the teams after a run rebuild the entire engine. It takes about 40 minutes or so. And that was way more interesting than the race itself. I don't get drag racing. It's quick. It's not exciting, but watching a team of people dance around an engine and completely rebuild it, new, like piston rings, new pistons. I think the clutch welds itself together after every run because it gets so hot. It's a crazy, phenomenal dance.
Wow. That is crazy. Huh. Check that out. Mine is a channel we may have talked about here before. I don't know what her actual name is. The channel is called Sides, S-E-I-D-S, Sades, Sides. I don't know. She does,
it is like, Sides, by the way.
Is it Sides? Okay.
Yeah, yes.
she does music production, and she uses Logic. I don't know if she exclusively uses Logic, but that's what I use. And I've been trying to improve my understanding of Logic and like recording for my daughter, because we're recording another song for her. And so I was like looking for some, you know, just how to get better in Logic and how, things to look out for and whatever. And I found this channel, and she has really good, straightforward videos, easy to listen to, easy to watch. And she's just like, all right, if you want this, do this. If you want this, do this. Here are some settings you need to set to make it easier for you to accomplish whatever. And so it's just really good, straightforward, useful Logic stuff. So
do you know her background story?
I don't. I don't really know anything about her.
So she's a great channel. Subscribed. Been watching her for a long time now. But she used to be a professional singer. She used to sing on like cruise ships and stuff like that. And she was always, and when she went to go record her own stuff, she was always dependent on other people because she didn't have that knowledge of music production. And so she just like, I want to do this all myself. And then she just head first and learned all about music production and electronics music and all of that. And now she teaches it. And
that's awesome.
She's fantastic. And she has a course that you can buy. I haven't bought the course, but I also use Logic. So that's also, that's how I discovered her a while ago.
Gotcha.
I do this to you all the time. I just hijack your pick.
No,
but,
no.
People say all the time, like the best way to learn something is to teach it. And we're actually, every time I do like an epoxy resin pour, I don't do my research and I don't know enough. And there's always little mistakes that I'm always fixing later. And I thought, you know what? I'm actually going to take the time and I'm going to gather up a bunch of tips. I brought books from the library and I'm going to make an epoxy resin tabletop. So it's got adjustable feet on all the corners so you can do the level thing. It's got a bubble level built into it. It's got humidity and temperature thing. But like the table that I'm making is complete overkill. But the video, if it's 20 minutes long, I'm going to do one epoxy resin tip every minute throughout the video. So, the table's complete overkill, but it should be some good value. And I told myself a long time ago that I wasn't going to do tips videos, but I need to find a reason to sit down and gather all this information. And so I got, John Lehman from, John Lehman YouTube channel. He's helping me with some tips and he's going to be a quick little guest in the video. But, the best way to learn something is to teach it.
Yeah.
And so that was a crazy tangent, but that's what I'm working on.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I'm looking forward to that. Right on. All right. Well, I guess if you guys don't have anything else, you're done. So thanks for listening, everybody. And yeah, be there and give Jimmy some of his tools back that he gave you last time. He was All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys. Love you guys.
Thank you.